Spiritual gifts. We've been talking about the baptism of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit working in the believer's life, so many different elements of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to be talking about the spiritual gifts. Very important topic for the church. Very important topic for a church like ourselves that is really a church rebooted. Does that make sense? A church going forward in the direction that God's called us to. And we're going to look at some of the different elements that apply to the spiritual gifts in the believer's life. So if you will stay with me, we're going to read this scripture. Would you read it out loud with me, and then we'll pray from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 6. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God who works all of them in all men. Would you bow your heads and would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we come to you, Jesus, this morning. And we ask, Father, that you would be with us. Send your Spirit and power among us, Lord God. Father, we're going to be praying and asking you to do a mighty work, Lord God. Fill us with hearts of expectation, Lord, to receive from you those gifts and those callings that you have for us, Lord. Each and every one of us, Lord, that our lives would be set apart and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to go forward and to do the works of the kingdom of God. Father, we pray and we ask your blessing upon this work today in Jesus' name. And his people said, amen. All right. From 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 through 20. Now, you'll remember that 1 Corinthians 12, the whole chapter, and then moving into the first part of chapter 13, is the spiritual gifts chapter. So remember that. And also Romans 12. So it's 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. So you can just kind of put that into your long-term memory. Move it from short to put it into long. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 discuss at length and great detail the elements of spiritual gifts. And so this is the first one I want to talk about. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Paul has used this analogy of the body throughout his epistles as he ministers to the various churches throughout Asia and Europe. The idea goes like something like this, that we have a body, each man and each woman has a body, and each part of that body has a function. My hand has a function, my left hand and my right hand, and they're attached to my arm and to my elbow and to my upper arm. My feet are attached to my ankles, that are attached to my shins, to attach to my knees, to my legs. Each part of those of the body is a needed element of this body. In the same fashion, Paul goes on to demonstrate that the body of Christ is the same way. That every person within the body is a needed, wanted, desired element of that body. And that we have to all be functioning together to see the body fully apprised with the gifts of the Spirit. He's going to come in and then he's going to talk to us about how the gifts are spread out through the body in the same fashion. That the body of Christ, for it to operate properly, each person, each member, see, this hand is a member of my body, must be functioning at full capacity. God has arranged the parts in the body. He's put them together in a fashion so that they work together. God has placed every member in the body with purpose. Every member in the body has a purpose. There's no parts of the body that don't have a reason for being. You know, they found out that even the appendix in the human body has a reason for being. We remove it quite frequently, but there are still things that it does for us, that's the reason God created it that way. We have parts in our body that are less, in the body of Christ, that are less showy than other parts, just as we do in our own body. But each of those parts has a function in the body of Christ. They are members. There is a work for them to be doing. See, there's a work for my hand to do, right? There's something that my hands have to do for this body. But there's something that every person, every member of the body of Christ, everything that they have to do for the body of Christ, which is Christ's body, which is the bride of Christ. So that's the first thing. God has placed every member in the body with a purpose. And from Romans 12, verse 3, remember I said 1 Corinthians 12 and then Romans 12? Romans 12, 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Rather, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Don't puff yourself up, Paul is telling the church at Rome. He said, don't make yourself higher than you really are. Don't draw attention to yourself. Be humble in the way you walk before the Lord. Know what your gifts are. That doesn't mean if God has given you gifts that you're supposed to tuck them under a rug and not use them in this idea of false humility. But it says, if God hasn't given you the ability to do the gifting to do X and Y, well, don't play games and make up like he has. That's silliness. We can only do what God has given us to do, right? We can only accomplish in our lives what God has said, this is a part of your life, and this is who you are, this is a gift that I'm giving you. So, just as each of us has one body and many members, just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other. Fascinating concept in Christianity is this idea that I have been bought with a price. You have been purchased with a price, and that price was the very blood of Jesus Christ, and that you are a part of a body. That's why we make such a big deal about membership around here, is because when people become a member, they become a part of this body. This body. Now, the body of Christ is worldwide. There are many quality churches that are a part of the body of church, the body of Christ. But we are a body of Christ here in Hamlin, Pennsylvania. So in Christ, we who are many form one body and each member belongs. You see, you belong to your fellow Christian. The members of the body belong to each other. We're not isolated. No man is an island to himself. And that's why I tell you on a very frequent basis, this idea that we go to the television and we get our fulfillment of Christianity from a TV preacher, as good or as poor as they might be, is just not a biblical principle. Nothing wrong with TV preachers. If you want to go get ministry there, that's fine, and receive and hear the teaching. Charles Stanley is one of my favorites. But nothing wrong with that. But the point is that's not the body of Christ. That's not your church. Does that make sense? That's just a place where you're receiving teaching. You need to be, you know, discerning and understand what the good teachers are and what the poor teachers are. But the body of Christ is a group of believers that live, work, eat. They're together as a body, as this hand is a part of this body. And they belong to one another. My life is not my own. And purchased with a price. See, in America, we have this notion that my life is my life and I'll live it as I see fit. I get to go around and do and act and say, you know, and that's my independence and that's my right. But I have news for you. When you come to know Jesus Christ, you come into something that is bigger than yourself. You're coming into a body of Christ, and maybe you're a hand. Well, you've got to have that arm. Otherwise, that hand is just out in the cold, right? Remember that, the Munsters, remember that hand that crawled across the table? It was chopped off at the wrist, and it was kind of placid and gray looking, but it would kind of crawl across the table by itself. You've got to have the blood supply. You've got to have the muscles attached to that hand. You've got to have the tendons attached to that hand. You've got to have the nerve endings. You've got to have the brain of the whole thing to make the thing move. Each part of the body. There's no disconnectedness. The body must be one. He's coming to spiritual gifts as it relates to this. 1 Corinthians 12:11. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. What is Paul talking about here as he looks, as he speaks to the church at Corinth? He's talking about spiritual gifts. That now he's given this idea of the body, that every part of the body has to work together. But now he's going to make a shift in his understanding on that. He's going to help us to understand that spiritual gifts work in the same manner within the body. The Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts to every member in the body as He sees fit. So, we've got the Holy Spirit who's putting gifts upon His people, gifts of service, because we don't belong to each other, and we're serving one another in those gifts, but He's spreading them out among the church and giving them to various peoples in the church so that they can function as a body, so that we don't have too many hands, we don't have too many feet, we don't have too many stomachs, or then maybe we don't have any eyes and the body can't see. And so He gives spiritual gifts and He distributes them. And those gifts, as He placed them, He places them in people that don't belong to each, that don't belong to themselves, that belong to each other. And so if this person has X gift, well, that gift is working in accordance. I belong to him and he belongs to me. It's so that we complement each other. Much like a husband and wife, you know, their gifts, they complement one another. Romans 12:6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Every member of the body has a unique set of spiritual gifts. They're not the same. They're unique to that individual. And what I've seen, for the most part, it's not just one. It's not like Sister Susie has only the gift of evangelism. Well, she could have gifts of hospitality. She could have gifts of administration. She could have gifts of healing, all kinds of different things. And the gifts, they complement each other. And so there's this packaging, and they're all coming from the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit comes down upon His people and indwells them, He gives gifts to men and women. And it's all for the building up of the body. And every one of you has unique, and very, very special gifts that God has given you for a very good purpose. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one, for the manifestation of the Spirit is for the common good. Why does He give us these gifts? Why are these things given to the church? Why does He give them to individuals? What is a part of that? It's for the common good. It's to build up the body. That's one of the biggest reasons why when we don't actively participate in the body, when we separate ourselves from the body, and we think, well, you know, I'm just that Pastor David. I just go and I never get a thing out of his sermons. And so I'm going to go once or twice. You know, I'll go once a month. I'll go every couple weeks. I'll go. Is what you're forgetting is it's not about what you get. Do you understand what I mean? It's not about what you're receiving. It's nice to receive. It's always nice to receive. And hopefully your pastor's got a couple of gifts that he can help give out to you and you can receive. But church, being a part of the body of Christ, is not about receiving. Can you say amen? It's about giving your gift. You have gifts. Your brothers and sisters need your gifts. If you are not using those gifts in the body of Christ, if you're putting them under a rug, is what you're doing is you're shortchanging your brothers and sisters. The experience of the body of Christ in the church is diminished because I don't have a hand, or I've got only one eye, or maybe I don't have any eyes. And so they're given for the common good. Spiritual gifts are for the common good of the body of Christ. You, each and every one of you, has gifts, and they're for your brothers and sisters. They're to build up and to edify the body of Christ. And so you must continually keep that in front, because it's a continual battle. You know, you wake up in the morning and you say, I'd really like to go out for breakfast. And, I'm just not going to go to that Friday prayer meeting because, or dinner, maybe you went out to dinner. You can't do that. Because there are men and women who are depending on you and your gifts. 1 Peter 4:9-10. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve the others. Each one should use the gift he has to serve one another, faithfully administering God's grace in various form. The use of spiritual gifts in the body is a means. It's an avenue. It's a way. It's like a big, wide Broadway street. It's how God brings grace to his church, is through the people of God. It's a means of grace. Baptism is a means of grace. Communion is a means of grace. It's a way that God brings grace to his people. And he does that in the church through God's people. And so that's why it's so important that Sister Susie, she's ministering and in her gift. Maybe her gift's hospitality. Maybe she's working in the cafe. It's so important that she's a part, because that's her gift. And she's got to give out of that gift to make the body whole. Otherwise, we're walking around with one leg. Does that make sense? It's really quite astonishing when we think about it. W.T. Perkheiser, he said this: every true function of the body of Christ, now read it slowly because the language is a little convoluted. Every true function of the body of Christ has a member to perform it. Every function of the body of Christ has a member to perform it. That's Bible. Every function in the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? The body of Christ is the church, isn't it? It's God's believers. It's not the building, it's God's believer. That's the body. It's the local church. It's the place where God's believers gather together. Every true function of that body of Christ has a member to perform it. And every member has a function to perform. Maybe you look at me and you say, "Pastor, I'm getting up in there in years, and it's harder for me to get out and to go and to be and part in all the meetings and everything. What is my gift? Do gifts change? I think they grow and I think they mature. So what is my gift? Maybe your gift in those closing years of your life is a gift of that God is going to use you in prayer, in intercession, to give back to the church in that way. Possibly it's to pray for people when they come to the altar. I don't know what it is. I don't pretend to know every one of your gifts. I know a lot of your gifts. I see them in you. I don't know them all. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But I know that he has a purpose in using your gifts, every one of you, in building the body. C. Peter Wagner said this in his book, Your Spiritual Gifts Can Help Your Church Grow. I realize that it comes as a surprise to some Christians who have been only marginally active in the church for years. Let's read that again. This is rather poignant. I realize that it comes as a surprise to some Christians who have been only marginally active in the church for years to find out that they are needed, wanted, and gifted to do their part in the body. Needed, wanted, and gifted. You see, the American church has taken this idea, and I've talked to you about this before, they've put this idea on the professional clergy, that the professional clergy is supposed to be the one who does all the things in the church. He's the one that does everything. He does all the visiting. He does all the praying. He does all the anointing. He does all the teaching. He does all the leading. He's got all these gifts, and glory be to God, and I'll just write him a check and keep him busy. No, 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 no. God has gifted each one in the body, and they have functions to accomplish within the body, gifts that God has called them to do, and your professional pastors are called to prepare you to accomplish those and to wake you up when you're sleeping so that you will do the works of God. They are needed, wanted, and gifted. Gifted. Holy Spirit has come down and He's gifted them to do the things of Christ, the work. From 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, "For this reason I remind you, young Timothy," Paul is writing to his young friend and almost a son in the Lord. He's saying, he calls him, he reminds him, he says, "Stir up the gifts. Fan the flame of the Holy Spirit gifts that have been given unto you. Stir them up, young lad, to fan into flame." Some of the different versions say stir them up. "Fan into flame the gifts of God which is in you through the laying on of hands." That's interesting. You know, I remember times in my early years when I was in college. I remember specifically times when these apostolic type leaders would lay their hands on groups of young people and they would pray. I remember this. And they would pray and stir up these gifts inside of them. It was just like someone take a big spoon. Or a big, you know, a billows, you know, the old blacksmith billows. And pretty soon those coals are red hot. And then you stick that horseshoe in there. Scripture calls us to fan those into flames and to encourage them in the life of the body of the believers. Because there's work to do. There's work in the kingdom of God to do. We must be about the work of the kingdom. Spiritual gifts may be given through the laying on of hands. Hands. And we're going to do that in a few minutes. We're going to lay hands on people and we're going to believe God to stir up the gifts inside of them. Okay. Now, if I can have your attention for a minute. I'm going to go through the list of the gifts and we're going to do them rather quickly. They're all on the bottom of your sheet, on the bottom of your page. Okay, so there's no more fill-ins. So stop looking at your fill-ins. You ought to see yourself. I'm gonna videotape you sometime. This is what you do. As the fill-in comes, it comes. Every one of your head goes whoop. Just like storks. Whoop. It's very funny. Not that I'm laughing at you. We're gonna go through these very quickly, but I want you to see them, and I want you to start kind of thinking in your mind's eye, what are my gifts? But the one thing that I want to remind you of, that these gifts, these lists from 1 Corinthians 12, from Romans 12, from Peter, from, I can't remember the last one. They're not a catalog of the gifts. I want you to remember that. If you've got a gift that you feel is a spiritual gift from the Lord and it's not listed up here, that doesn't mean that it's not a spiritual gift. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Do you understand that? I have only listed the ones up here that I am able to specifically track back to a verse. And you're going to see it as I do it rather quickly up there. You're going to see what I'm talking about. But you might have the gift of intercession. And I believe that is a gift. It's not up here because it's not specifically spelled out in the scripture. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Are you with me? So don't be thinking because I didn't list your gift up here and you've been operating in this gift for your whole life that you've been just operating in some kind of a falsehood. That's not it at all. These are not a catalog of all the gifts. And the other thing you'll see is you're going to see overlap of the gifts. You're going to see there's going to be gifts in 1 Corinthians that are also going to be in Romans. Well, I don't list those twice up there. If I've listed the gift of teaching once, I'm not going to list it again three times as it's talked about in three other scriptures. That's what tells us also it's not a catalog. It's not this list of a complete, every gift is here. I believe that there can be a multiplicity of gifts that are not listed here. I believe the Holy Spirit can do anything He wants. Hallelujah. Amen? Okay. From 1 Corinthians 12:8, wisdom. Look at the underlining up there. To one is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous power, distinguishing of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Wisdom, an understanding, a deep understanding and knowledge. Or there's a little crossover between wisdom and knowledge, I find. Knowledge, this, this idea that you know something, have an understanding of what's happening in an area. I was in Manila many years ago, and we were building a church plant, and I was in the base. We were building a church facility in the basement of this theater or something, and we hired some local contractors to work on it, and I was just one of the underlings and was kind of a street evangelist type, and they hired this one guy to do the renovations on this space. And, you know, that was part of what I did in my earlier years, was to oversee kind of small construction type things. And so they brought this guy on the job, and I looked at him and watched him for about a couple of hours, and I went to the leader and I told him, I said, this guy does not have the skills, the ability to accomplish this kind of a task. And if you pay him and give him money to do this, he's going to leave you hurting. Well, I was a 20-year-old kid, and they didn't listen to me. And so, just as we said, it turned out to be a botched job. The whole project was a botched job that they had to hire someone else and had to start it over. That was a gift. I believe it was a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, kind of a crossover going in there that I gave to those people, and you choose to accept or you choose not to. You don't force it down people, and I didn't run away and cry because they didn't believe what I said. I did my job, and then I walked away. That's a gift to speak into a situation. So that's just a little example of what I'm talking about. Faith, you know, the ability to believe something that isn't, that it will become, gifts of healing, miracles. You know, when Jesus told Peter to put the net over the side of the boat and they hadn't caught anything, and he put the net over and it was filled with fish, and he pulled it up and the net was almost breaking. Gift of miracles. All kinds of applications to these. Prophecy, looking in the future and seeing things that are going to go on. Distinguishing of spirits. That would be a distinguishing of evil spirits, wicked spirits, so you can understand what's kind of the root of them, where they're coming from. You kind of see in the spiritual realm in that. Tongues, the gift of tongues where an unknown language will come out from you. That could be a gift of tongues in the service, where there was also a gift of interpretation that's been working, that this gift of tongues that someone gave is interpreted. Could be a private prayer language. There's no real definition here on what kind of tongues it's talking about. There are a number of different elements of how tongues works in the believer, in the Bible. So this is the main list of nine from 1 Corinthians. And what you need to be asking yourself as we look at this list is saying, what part of those gifts are mine? What part are mine? What part do they play in me as an individual? Has God gifted me in those areas? And that's what you should be thinking about those. Even as we go through, you should be praying and asking the Lord, are those gifts in me? Which ones? Because there's a mix of them. It's not just one or two. And then we go to Romans 12 again. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, you see, that's a duplicate. That's why it's not underlined. Let him serve in proportion to his faith. Serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing, leadership, or mercy. Serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing, leadership, and mercy. Well, possibly your gift is serving in the church. Possibly it's serving other people. All kinds of different ways. Serving could be a gift. Teaching, expositing God's word, teaching God's people, encouraging. Maybe there's someone in their body that's what they do, is they come up and put their arm around a brother and they lift them up and encourage them in the things of God. Encourage them in their life. We all need encouragement, don't we? You see, every member is giving in some area of the church. And then the church begins to function as a body. Contributing. Maybe your gift is contributing, and there's actually, I mean, I know, it's hard to believe, isn't it? If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. Possibly God has blessed you in your home financially. You have more than you need. Well, brothers and sisters, if that's the case, God didn't give that to you to just heap it upon yourself. You need to be giving that back to the body of Christ, because you belong to who? To one another. And if you see, how could you have the gift of contributing or giving, and you see, and you've got, God has given you wealth and well-being and prosperity, and you see another brother or sister in need, desperate need, and then you don't, oh my. Oh my, you are in danger of hellfire. Do you understand what I'm saying? To see a brother and a sister in need and you don't, and you have the wherewithal to meet that need and you decide just out of selfishness, oh my, you don't want to do that. Because you were in need. Can you say amen? I mean, you were in need. Jesus came and he found you. You were naked. And he saved you. And you belong to everybody else here. Leadership. Mercy. Giving mercy. Mercy ministries. Possibly all these things are a part of your gift mix. This mix of who you are as a believer and what your service is to the church, because you belong to one another. You're a member. You're a hand, you're a leg, you're an arm, you're a foot, you're a toe. And from Ephesians 4:11, these gifts are a little bit different. These are the leadership gifts. These are the oversight gifts in the church. He's given, it was he who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. These are gifts. Possibly God has given you those to lead in God's church. And it doesn't mean that that gift has to be just a gift of a professional gift where you receive all, you know, Paul made tents, the scripture says. The scripture says that Paul, and the people said, Pastor? No, I'm just kidding. Tents, pastor, go get a job. Never mind. To prepare God's people for works of service. You could be functioning in one of those gifts for the body of Christ. You could be a prophet. You could be an evangelist. You could be a pastor. You could be a teacher. You could be an apostle, a sent one, one who goes forward to plant and to birth new works and churches. Apostle, one of the things we see in modern day apostles is this package of so many of these gifts are just thrust in them because God uses them and sends them out to do these great works. All gifts. And from 1 Corinthians 12:28. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, teachers, workers of miracles. Those are repeats. Gifts of healing. And those to be able to help others. Gift of helps. Maybe your gift is to help people out of their car and into the service on Sunday. You gotta exercise. You gotta use that gift. You gotta help the body. The body needs you. Otherwise, it's walking around without a hand, without an eyeball. Administration. Perhaps God has put this gifts of administration upon you, that you're just really good in administrating things. You're just a paper pusher extraordinaire. You just have that ability. Some people have it and some people don't. We're almost done. From 1 Corinthians 13. Drop it all. If I speak with tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong. So Paul is going to go and say, you can have all these gifts, but if you don't have love, you got nothing. I am only a resounding or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecies, can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and I have faith, I can move mountains, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor. Now, this is a little allusion to a gift, okay? It doesn't say a gift of the Holy, but there's an allusion to it. He's got, if I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all the mysteries. And then he pops down to verse 3. If I give all that I possess to the poor, it's like saying that that's a gift too. To give all that you have to the poor. And then there's another allusion, and surrender my body to the flames. That would be an allusion to martyrdom. Voluntary poverty and martyrdom. Those could be looked at. Some people would disagree with that, and you don't have to be on board with all of these. But some people look at that as a special gift that someone's been given the ability to give their life up for the gospel. Do you believe that some people have that? Boy, I'm telling you, go back and look at some of the old books of how people died. The grace that they had when they went to be with the Lord. They stood on the fire praising God. That's a gift. And they would give everything that they have to help and serve the poor. Gifts again. And then this last one. Well, there's two more. Offer hospitality without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he's received. Gift, hospitality, gift. You see that? Perhaps your gift is hospitality toward the brethren, to love them, to feed them, to open your doors of your house. Oh, we don't do that in America anymore, do we? We don't. Our homes are our castles, and we kind of keep them separate from one another. And you know, I'll meet you at church, but don't, you know, you're getting a little bit close. You want to come and sit around my kitchen table? Gift of hospitality. Perhaps that's yours. And this next one is one I know that so many of you are familiar with, from 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 1 and 7. Now, for the matters you wrote about, it's good for a man not to marry. You know it's coming. I wish that all men were as I am. What does he mean? Not married. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift and another has that gift. So what he's saying is that some people have a gift of celibacy, where they've said that my life is separated unto the Lord and it's a gift. If you don't have that gift, you probably know it. If you have that gift, you probably know it. Because this person has put that part of their life aside. They've said that, no, my life is separated unto God, and that's not a sexual identity, and life is not a part of my relationship with God and the church. That's a gift. Here we go. Can I have the worship team up front, please? From 1 Corinthians 14:12. So it is with you, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts. Paul was always talking to the church at Corinth about gifts. These guys were on fire for the gifts. Why don't you stand up and we're gonna pray with people. If you want to receive, I'm going to talk for a couple more minutes. If you want to receive prayer for the gifts, can I have my prayer teams down here at the front? If you want to receive prayer to have the gifts stirred up in you, like we talked about in the very first verse from Timothy, I want you to come down to the altar. There you go. So it is with you, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up to the church. Another scripture talks about seeking them. Excel in the gifts that build up the church, that strengthen the church. So, this is what we're going to do. While the worship team begins to play, these folks are going to, I'm going to be down here, we're going to pray with people, okay? Don't forget, at the end of the service, we're going to go back and have coffee and cake with the kids. And the Moraleses too, Lord willing. They're kids too, right? But come, because the scripture talks about fan into flames, stir up the gifts that are within you. And we want to pray with you that God would stir those up and that he'd speak to your heart a blessing on what gifts you have. Because each and every one of you have a unique set of spiritual gifts that God has distributed and set apart in your life so that you can minister and uplift the body. Please come.